Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound. This is Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Thanks for tuning in to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. For more than 25 years, For the People has been a partner and supporter of Connecticut's Northeast Organic Farming Association chapter. And today, we're going to mark the next chapter in that relationship, bringing our microphone to the floor of their 44th winter conference held recently at Wesleyan University. We're going to talk a lot about sustaining and growing the number of farms and farmers here in our state and how various organizations are doing just that. So sit back and hear all about Reboot Eco, Solid Ground, the Connecticut Veteran Grown Movement, the Connecticut Farm Energy Program, the New Connecticut Farmer Alliance, Land for Good, the Yukon Extension, the Connecticut Land Conservation Council, and of course, we'll hear from the executive director of CTNOFA. It's all coming at you right after this reminder. Have you heard about the Karam Volkswagen Given to the Green Community Give Back program? At Karam Volkswagen, community comes first, and that's why they're giving back. All this month, Karam is inviting local nonprofit organizations to talk about their mission and what they need most. One organization is going to be selected to receive $5,000. If you're part of a nonprofit organization, Karam Volkswagen wants to hear your pressing needs and how they can support you. Visit KaramVW.net to learn more and apply. No blarney, just giving. Karam Volkswagen is committed to driving more than cars. They're committed to driving community.
Well, here we are at Wesleyan University once again and visiting with a number of familiar folks and hoping to meet some new ones as well. It's the Northeast Organic Farming Association of Connecticut's annual conference here, and we are pleased to be chatting with their executive director, Jeremy Pelletier. Jeremy, first and foremost, thanks for keeping this going, man. It's been a rough year.
Yeah, it has been a rough year. We, the funding freeze really took a number on us in 2025. And in the spring, after I talked to you last at the last winter conference, we really didn't know what we were going to do with the organization, if we were going to have to close our doors or furlough staff. Luckily, we were able to sort of go to part time and ride the storm out for a bit. Our membership really stepped up and donated lots of money and renewed their membership and supported us. So we were able to keep going, albeit part-time, up until the end of the year where we were able to go full-time again. Some of those grants unfroze. And so it's kind of a miracle we're here we're today.
Yeah. It's great that you're able to weather it, but so much of a overlay to the story of American farmers and agriculture, though, right?
Weather, oh yeah, storm, absolutely.
I mean, coming out on the other end.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, those freezes didn't only affect us; it affected farmers all over the country, all over Connecticut. Yeah. You know, projects that were stalled, funding that was stalled, money that was already spent that needed to get reimbursed that wasn't happening. So, yeah, this year has been a rough one for all of us in the farming community.
I think it's important to spend a few minutes bringing more people to the NOFA table here in Connecticut. Why don't you explain to folks that are listening the breadth of areas of farming and agriculture and gardening who come to the NOFA Connecticut table?
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I love this conference in particular so much, is because we have gardeners coming, home gardeners. We have, you know, backyard gardeners, people farming on 1 acre of land, people with large farms here in Connecticut. We have organic farmers. We have non-organic farmers. We have, you know, folks really interested in policy and making changes at the state capitol. We have land care professionals who are doing organic land care. So we really have a lot of folks under our umbrella, all sort of working toward a common goal.
And you also, aside from the conference, part of your year-round mission up to now has been offering heightened levels of education to certain professionals in the land care and agricultural industry?
Yeah, we have our accreditation course in organic land care where we accredit a landscaper in organic methods. And so, you know, unlike agriculture, organic land care is not regulated by anybody. And so back in the early 2000s, NOFA wrote standards for organic land care based on the agricultural standards, organic agricultural standards. And so that's been sort of the baseline of what organic means in landscaping. And we continue to train about 100 people a year. And I think we have people in 20 different states at this point.
Wow. Yeah. It all starts with soil and seeds. And I'll say one thing: over the many years that I've been able to come to these conferences, I've learned more about soil and seeds in this 3 or 4 hour snapshot of time than I probably learned over the rest of the course of my life. How are we doing here in Connecticut in terms of the kind of soil health that helps organic farmers get the most out of what they put in?
Yeah, here in Connecticut, we're lucky to have some really great resources with University of Connecticut Extension, with DOAG, and of course with SCTNOFA. There's a lot of great soil health programming. Our very own Monique Bosch, who teaches soil health to farmers and gardeners, has grown her sort of influence within our memberships quite a bit. But it's really nice that all of these stakeholders are at the table with soil health, and we have a lot of support from UConn and a lot of support from the Department of Agriculture. Everyone's kind of on the same page when it comes to the importance of soil health in farming, whether organic or not. Everyone's kind of on the same page, and we're trying to make some good strides here with that.
The other great thing about being in sort of a thickly clustered area like the Northeast is the growth of the black and brown faces that we see in our world of agriculture and farming. Your membership is reflecting that demographic.
Yeah, you know, the Liberated Land Cooperative, they have been a really great partner with us, helping us sort of expand our reach and helping us offer programming that's reflective of different communities in Connecticut. And so, you know, we've tried to be more expansive in our offerings. We've tried to have more appropriate programming for different kinds of farmers, whether it's urban, whether it's rural. We've certainly been trying.
And people see people like them doing something that they're interested in doing. That's kind of the catalyst where it all starts.
Yeah, I think so. And
even when it comes to veterans, yeah, who we'll talk to today on the show.
Yeah, there's a ton of different farmers here in Connecticut. We have a very diverse farming population. And I like to think of SCTNOFA as the conference is a gathering place, but there's a lot of really good institutions doing work for their communities and really getting people excited about farming and gardening around the state.
Anything to be able to teach our youngest generation that good, healthy food doesn't come from a big box retail store?
Yeah, exactly. It comes from the soil.
So in the last few moments that we have with you today, Jeremy, obviously by the time this program plays, the conference is over, but there are still a lot of opportunities for people to become educated and create great relationships and mentor-mentee situations, just converging and meeting folks through NOFA. How can they learn more?
Yeah, so we have some exciting stuff coming up this year. Our Transition Organic Partnership Program continues through September, and that is connecting mentors and mentees in transitioning to being certified organic. Something really exciting happening this year is in partnership with the Department of Agriculture, they're launching their new Connecticut Grown Organic label under the sort of Connecticut Grown label.
Wow.
So organic farmers here have their own branding that they can look to that separate.
Kind of
distinguishes them from the other farms, which we're really excited about. We have soil health programming all year. And so, yeah, check out ctnofa.org. We have stuff going on all year, and we hope you'll join us for something.
Jeremy Pelletier, Executive Director of the Northeast Organic Farm Association of Connecticut, here from Wesleyan and their annual conference. Jeremy, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck today.
All right, thank you.
All right, making new friends and visiting with some old friends from the Connecticut Land Conservation Trust. Ricky Bentley is with me. You've heard his voice on our prior NOFA conference broadcasts, and happy to meet Vanessa Day, also with the Land Conservation Trust. So, Ricky, what's sort of the elevator spiel? What is the Connecticut Land Conservation Council all about?
So we are the statewide service provider for all of the land trusts in Connecticut. There's about 120 land trusts in the state. We have some of the most land trusts of any state in the country. And we are a multifaceted organization. We do a lot of things. So we are a capacity builder. We're a convener. In 2 weeks, we are having our own land conservation conference here at Wesleyan. We have over 600 people registered.
Wow.
It's probably going to be one of our biggest yet. We are also active in policy advocacy. Our executive director is at the Capitol during legislative sessions, advocating for conservation needs in Connecticut, agricultural needs. We have a number of different capacity building programs for land trusts. We run educational workshops, webinars, in-person site visits. We also have a number of grant programs, and those grant programs help with the pace and acquisition of new conservation land, and also the stewardship of that those properties. And then we also do a lot of other convening, not just of different conservation groups, but of other community groups with conservation, and that's what Vanessa does.
Oh, great. So Vanessa, tell us about that program.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Day, the Community Conservation Coordinator at the Connecticut Land Conservation Council. My role is to support land trusts to build diverse partnerships with community organizations, specifically focusing on getting underserved communities involved in land trusts. So that includes communities of color, different youth groups, people with disabilities, faith-based groups, veterans, helping to have everyone involved in land trusts who maybe historically have been excluded from the space. And one way that I do that is launching a new program called Pathways to Nature. So it'll be a variety of guided hiking, biking, and kayaking excursions on land trust properties designed to make outdoor recreation just really inclusive and supportive for underserved communities.
I was going to say to you guys, you know, when you hit geezer status like me and you have so much time to watch things develop, the patchwork of land trusts in Connecticut over the past half century has been an amazing thing to watch grow. And what used to be kind of treetops in terms of individual organizations separated by a lot of land have now become beautifully collaborative, and in a lot of ways abut or create multiple contiguous opportunities for conservation. This has got to be something that's really gratifying for somebody like you guys to see happen. Can you talk a little bit about how land trusts are discovering each other and collaborating more these days?
Sure. I mean, so our conference is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, gathering of conservation professionals and conservation-minded folks in the state. It's a great opportunity for these organizations to come together, meet each other, network, and then leads to future collaborations. And something we're actually seeing as a trend is that number of land trusts is actually decreasing, which is not in itself a bad thing. That a lot of those land trusts are merging with each other and becoming more regional and becoming
really powerful.
Yeah,
much better funded, yeah. I guess. Right,
mm-hmm. Compiling their resources to better serve their mission of protecting land in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. What brought you to the council, Ricky? Are you involved in conservation or farming? What's your background?
I grew up on a small farm in northern Connecticut, and my professional background was in outdoor education. I worked for organizations like Outward Bound, taking adolescents out into the woods on backpacking, canoeing excursions, and using the natural world as a vessel for self-growth and group group bonding.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a leadership character
building, community exactly.
building. It's all wrapped in that. That's
yeah.
great. Fantastic.
But so then I wanted to, I was really interested in climate change. I also was, you know, seeing my hometown old farms get bought up and developed, and wanted to make a difference in that realm. So was called to conservation.
In some ways, Vanessa, it sounds like your new program is sort of a little bit of an overlay to that model, getting people from communities out into the more sparse and wild areas of the state. How do people learn more about participating in your program?
So Pathways to Nature, we're looking for different land trusts who are interested, nonprofit organizations and informal community groups, and also guides who have experience with birding, biking, hiking, or kayaking to be involved with Pathways to Nature. If anyone wants to be involved, they can reach out to Vanessa Day. Can I give my email? Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A, at ctconservation.org. You can also visit our website, ctconservation.org, and you can search for community conservation programs.
Representing the Connecticut Land Conservation Council here at the NOFA Annual Conference, Ricky Bentley, and a newcomer to the award-winning For the People, Vanessa Day. Vanessa, I hope we can put our network of partners in contact with you, because we work with a lot of nonprofits and community organizations, and it sounds like this is a program that could really serve a lot of purposes here in Connecticut. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Continuing to make some friends here at the NOFA Spring Conference as we move into and toward the first day of spring here. Great to meet Melissa Hall from the New Connecticut Farmer Alliance, doing great things connecting workforce to work in the agricultural industry, right?
Sure thing, yeah. I mean, like I just let you know, New Connecticut Farmers, we're really here to support new farmers that maybe you're just thinking about farming 1, 2 years, or even up to 10 years and more. You know, we love anyone who's out here looking for resources. We try to connect people with events, with grants, with support, technical support. You know, farming can be daunting, and so we're a big community that loves to support each other. We do have a couple events coming up that I wanted to mention. On March 14th, we have something called March Market Madness. It's an interactive workshop where you can actually bring your farmer's market set up. If you have questions, you're looking for help branding, or just want to get like that buzz at your stand. And then our spring shindig will be in April, and that's just a very good time. Farmers are come together, they connect. It's a little rowdy. We're catered, and you get a farm tour. And
where is that happening? Do you have
that
site yet?
Be at Sub Edge Farm, date TBD. But if you go to newconnecticutfarmers.com, which is newctfarmers.com, you can sign up for our listserv. We have over 700 folks on that, and that's where you get connected with all this good stuff. Hope to see you out there.
So now, is this the kind of organization that, like, is out there at job fairs at high schools and things? Like, where do you find the most, fertile ground, excuse the pun,
I like it. Honestly, folks come to us. You know, we work with a lot of great partners in this state, and there's so many resources out there, but we like to think that folks are coming to us just to be like, hey, I'm here. I want to connect with like-minded new farmers. You know, there's a different energy about someone that comes to Connecticut and is like, I'm going to start farming. And so we are just available to connect people together, like I said, to get all those resources out there and hopefully make it easy and a lot of fun.
What's interesting about the group, the demographic, I should say, that you're catering to some respects, these are farmers who've never known a life without a screen and without technology. Can you talk at all about the dynamic of these younger farmers and how they're utilizing, you know, kind of state-of-the-art stuff to get off the ground?
That's such a good question. You know, a lot of the new farmers, while they still may be, you know, much more savvy at tech, they often have worked at farms. This has been a dream of theirs. So I think what I see are folks coming in and maybe they just have a little bit more edge when it comes to like their social media or the marketing piece of things, since that's, you know, what we've grown up with. But I think what's really cool about the new farmers is they also want to get into it because they want to steward the land. Like, that's the biggest thing. And then they might come to it with skills. Like, we have some farmers who, you know, second career farmers. They come from a big city, and they're like, I want to start a different life. And so it, you see all types of folks, but the common thread really is bringing, like, beautiful produce and goods to their local communities, and doing it with a real like love of the land and a stewardship for the land. And so that's just been really neat to see. I'm new with the organization, but every farmer I talk to has a different story and a true passion just for being out there and for helping other farmers. I think that's something I'd love to just let anyone who is thinking about farming know, like, the community is strong. And while farming can feel isolating at times, there are always people that are thinking the same things, have the same questions, and that's why we're there, just to really connect folks.
Yeah.
And we also do, I mean, there's a lot of action coming up. Ag Day at the Capitol on Hartford is on March 18th.
Yep.
And so as far as policy goes, like, we'll be there with a bunch of farmers who want to share their stories and you know, talk to our legislators. So we're everywhere.
Well, the next hour of our award-winning For the People programming will be from Ag Day. So maybe we'll reconnect and I can talk to a couple of those farmers for next week's program.
That would be wonderful.
Fantastic. Cool. Melissa Hall. And with the new Connecticut Farmer Alliance here at the NOFA Spring Conference at Wesleyan University. And heading for Ag Day. We'll see you there. Take care. Thank you. Decidedly a little bit quieter at the moment here at the NOFA conference at Wesleyan University. Great chance to catch up with some new friends to the award-winning For the People. Yasmin Urgulu is here with Reboot Eco. Reboot Eco. Yasmin, are you affiliated with NOFA or more interested in making connections today?
So I'm a former board member of CT NOFA. So I've been affiliated with the organization for quite a while and a supporter of the annual winter conference. It's a fantastic event. We have a lot of mutual network. So I'm here to see some old friends, make some new friends, and just support the entire initiative.
I've decided this year I'm going kind of with the Bill Dissing look. I'm usually a little more clean shaven.
Yeah. So,
but I don't just come here to do interviews. I come here to learn, too. And every time I talk to somebody, I learn at least one thing, typically many things new. Tell me about Reboot.
So Reboot Eco is a zero waste and refill shop, as well as kind of an entire sustainability ecosystem. We have a shop and our hub here in Middletown, down the street. We have a refill station for household cleaners and bath products. We have all kinds of reusable and plastic-free, non-toxic alternatives to everyday household items, bath products, bath and body products, and things. We have more than 30% of our vendors are Connecticut vendors, so a lot of local, all small businesses, mostly women-owned. But within this hub, we also have our swap studio, which is a free shop for clothes, shoes, and books.
Oh.
And we do regular events, free events like repair cafes and mending circles, and all kinds of workshops that just help folks consume differently and look at consumption differently and look at their stuff differently and allow their stuff to last longer and buy less, you know, save more, and kind of, you know, really support all the R's, the reducing, the reusing, the repurposing, the refilling, and then a little bit of recycling too.
Well, in terms of being able to provide a snapshot of education for folks listening, if I'm one of those people who just goes mental over the thought of these massive plastic islands floating in our oceans and killing sea life and wildlife, and I want to do something about that in my own home, even though it's one tiny little movement, if you have a million people doing it makes a difference.
Absolutely.
What are a couple of the best things, if I'm the kind of person that wants to tackle plastic waste, what do I do?
So, the first thing that I recommend is coming in to visit our shop, because one of the things that I like to do is I've curated a selection of products and items that not only are good alternatives if you were to purchase them, but they can also inspire and get you to realize, oh, wait, there's a plastic-free alternative to this, or wait, there's a reusable alternative to this single-use item in my home. So it can serve, or you can check out our website, of course, at rebooteco.com, but it can serve as a little bit of an inspiration of just realizing what exists out there that is an alternative. But what I'd also generally recommend is starting to take note of your garbage or recycling bin. What is the thing that's taking up the most space? What's the thing that you're most frequently disposing of that is plastic, right? That, you know, kind of a trash audit is what we usually call it, gets you to start to think about this kind of major offender in your home, and is there an alternative for that? Because I don't recommend trying to switch everything over all at once. When you come into our store, we generally do not recommend. Don't go through and try to switch everything over. Do little baby steps. And that can be a way to identify what can be my first step. What's the thing that I'm buying, you know, the most, or that's taking up the most space in the trash, or that I'm trying to recycle and isn't actually recyclable? What is that? Is it the laundry jug? Is it, you know, are you going through dish soap, plastic, you know, containers a lot? Is it food packaging? You know, whatever it might be. Some might not have solutions. Food packaging is a tough one, right? Yeah, yeah. Of course, we're here at the NOFA conference, so knowing that you can, you know, shop local from your farmers, that can reduce plastic waste. But some things are a little tougher to solve, but there are easy, low-hanging fruit that you can identify, and a trash audit can help with that a little bit, or seeing what alternatives exist can also help.
On the subject of the trash audit, I guess, statistically, every person who does one is going to learn that food scraps are a big and potentially harmful element of it. And the food scrap recycling movement here in Connecticut is really starting to take hold.
Sure is.
That is something that's critically important. And I guess it's really simple to do it. And I find that I'm surprised at all the things that contribute to those food scrap bins.
So I love that is one of the first, it's funny, folks often think, oh, a compost bin's going to smell gross and it's going to be, you know, I don't want that on my counter. And it's like, well, you've had food scraps in your garbage. Your garbage smells so gross all the time. It's shocking when once people start to separate out that food waste, that compost from their kitchen waste bin, it's all of a sudden like, oh, wait, I don't have to throw it out as often. It's not smelly. It actually really is quite the improvement. But yes, the methane gas that that food waste offputs in the landfill is a real problem. It's also just a lot of trash, right? So not everyone wants to have a backyard compost. So setting aside and finding, like you said, Connecticut is doing a lot more. There's a lot of drop-off bins, a lot of municipalities, either at their landfills, the recycling centers, or otherwise have drop-off areas. Our shop has a drop-off bin, so folks can bring their compost to drop it off. But it makes a huge difference. It really allows you to get a better handle on what is left in your garbage after that. And there are a lot of ways of doing it without, if you don't want the countertop bin, I like to throw mine in an old takeout container in the freezer. So I just freeze mine and then I bring it to our drop-off spot, you know, and it, even if I leave it in the car and forget about it, it was frozen, so it doesn't smell. it takes a while for it to start smelling. So there's lots of fun tips and tricks to not have to buy. You don't have to buy a new compost bin right away. You don't have to buy compost bags. There are little ways of starting that habit without any extra expense or extra, you know, effort, really.
Excellent. Hit us again with information about where folks can find you.
Sure. So Reboot Eco is on River Road in Middletown, as well as rebooteco.com. You can find all the information there.
Thank you very much. Yasmin Ergulu is with Reboot Eco, and she is a former, as you heard, NOFA Connecticut board member, a longtime advocate for the cause, and really appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it as well.
All right, making our way through the vendor tables here, we have come across Solid Ground, which is a program of the College of Agriculture, Health, and Natural Resources and the Extension at UConn. Melanie Desch and Petros Papadopoulos are with us. And Melanie, you're here representing the Extension. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm here with the Solid Ground program today. So our Solid Ground program is specifically for new and beginning farmers in Connecticut in order to build their skills, level up skills if they didn't grow up on a farm. That can be business oriented, that can be hands-on skills. Like we have an ag mechanics training running right wow. now. We have chainsaw workshops, chainsaw for women. We have small engines courses, tool sharpening courses, all those things that are pretty mechanical and that you might not have been able to experience before if you didn't grow up farming. So, you can go to our website, solidground.extension.ucon.edu, in order to find out more information and see any workshops that we have coming up.
So what brought you to, I'm assuming you're a student or staff?
I'm staff with the Solid Ground program and some of our other food systems in UConn Extension. I'm also a farmer myself. Oh, so wow. I originally attended some of the Solid Ground trainings, wow. was really interested in it, and kind of wanted to help with those programming and get more people involved.
Oh, tell us a little bit more about your farm.
So I have a flower farm in Mansfield, Connecticut. It's called Foliota Farm. So we grow fresh cut flowers. I'm just entering my fifth year of production. So we consider that a new and beginning farmer, up to 10 years of owning your own farm.
So what can you offer to women who may be interested in kind of stepping out on their own? They may have done some gardening and want to take it to the next level and see if they can make a life out of it.
I think the first step is figuring out like where you want to sell, if you are going to sell your products, mm-hmm. right? So we did actually just publish a Finding Your Market magazine.
Oh.
So that has different resources in terms of, do you love working with people? Do you want to sell at farmers markets? Do you, want to do a CSA where you know exactly how many people you're going to have purchasing from you for the year? Or is wholesale more your interest because you don't want to work with people so much and you can actually produce a lot of crops and then sell that? So I think first step is figuring out what you want to do. And then the second step is definitely building your skills, creating a business plan. We have a business of farming course at UConn Extension. So you can actually figure out what you want your first year to look like and plan out for the next 3 to 5 years.
Oh, fantastic. Once more with the website for Common Ground, Solid Ground.
It is solidground.extension.ucon.edu.
Very good.
You'll find plenty of information there.
Very good. Appreciate the info. Yeah. Petros.
Hey.
Mr. Papadopoulos.
Yes.
So what is your scope of interest here today?
Yes. So I'm here with the Grown Connected program, also out of UConn Extension. Mm-hmm. I am the food access outreach specialist there. Grown Connected as a program, primary goal is to support our local farmers in Northeast Connecticut, mm-hmm. and we are also working to address some of the food insecurity in Northeast Connecticut. We have some of the highest food insecurity in New England, mm-hmm. Which is why we're focused in that area of the state right now. And my work is promoting our local farms. We are working with our farmers directly, making sure people know what farms are near them. Oftentimes, people know, people say, oh, I had a farm just down the road from me, and I didn't know until, I looked at the map on your site, things like that. So our website has lots of resources on where you can find your organic farms, farms that accept SNAP payment, all the farms. We have over 175 farms in our network right now in Northeast Connecticut.
Wow, that's great.
And additionally, right now, 12 of those accept SNAP payment, and there's a lot of SNAP recipients that want to be able to shop local, so I myself am helping onboard farms that want to accept SNAP payment, answer questions about that, help them with that process. We can help them with the fees that might be involved and the process and kind of helping through the whole process of what do I need to do? Am I eligible to become a SNAP retailer? Things like that. So we can answer all of those questions.
It's unfortunate, I think, that when a lot of people think about food insecurity, they think about more concentrated urban and thick suburban areas. But it's interesting and concerning to hear that some of the more sparse areas of Connecticut and the country are maybe even suffering more due to the fact of the much more limited resources that folks have to be able to access food.
Yeah, definitely. I would say it is interesting. There is a contrast between the concentration of farms in Northeast Connecticut and the lack of access to fresh food. Oftentimes, you know, there are certainly some places doing great work in addition to, you know, Grown Connected. There's the Click in Willimantic. There's, you know, food hubs, and there's lots of farmers markets and definitely options for people. But oftentimes there are issues with perception of cost. People don't know, can I afford to go to a farmer's market? And how do I get there? You know, if I get there, are they going to have what I want? Do I have time to get there? Or, you know, there's a variety of barriers as well to getting to places where you can get fresh food. And so, you know, as Grown Connected, we're just trying to promote all of those areas that you can and make sure people know how, what, when, and where they can find this food. That way, when they show up, they can get what they want.
It really does involve kind of a mutual investment of both the farmer and the client and the customer, so to speak. And it's great to hear that you're working to help make that easier by introducing farmers to ways to attract more of the people who could benefit most from the freshest, healthiest food.
Definitely, yeah. And there are all sorts of great organizations in North Connecticut, like Teague and Thompson, that, you know, have variety of programs, you know, food pantries, things like that, that are hoping to open up more opportunities and places to be able to connect farmers and people looking to buy food from them.
So you're mostly interested in making the acquaintance of and getting to know more farmers in the northeastern sector?
Yeah, so we, right now we have over, like I said, over 175 farms in our network. If there are any farms that we don't know about that are not in our guide on grownconnected.org, we certainly would love to hear from them if they're interested in joining our network. And we also want to make sure that anyone who wants to shop local, anyone can go to our site and look to see what farmers markets or farms are near them to be able to shop as well.
Great. Hit them one more time with the website and we'll say farewell for now.
Yep. grownconnected.org.
Petros Papadopoulos here at the NOFA Spring Conference at Wesleyan University, also visiting with Melanie Dish. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Work in the room here at Wesleyan University of Middletown for the Northeast Organic Farming Association of Connecticut's annual conference. And we are with another familiar friend. Chris Swanson is here, also from Connecticut Resource Conservation and Development, but specifically sharing information and benefits of the Connecticut Farm Energy Program. Chris, if I could just ask you to quickly kind of distinctify the organization you work for versus the program, because we also interviewed Sarah Layton, which is also kind of a double, triple duty job, or at least expanding across a number of programs.
Yep. Connecticut Resource Conservation and Development is a nonprofit, and we have multiple different programs through our organization, providing technical assistance to farms and rural small businesses in Connecticut. Specifically, our Connecticut Farm Energy Program is what I'm here representing today, and we provide technical assistance in applying for the USDA Rural Development's REAP Grant, Rural Energy for America Program, and also energy efficiency and renewable energy audits or assessments are also provided under this as part of our technical assistance.
So, how would a farmer approaching you regarding this program be able to benefit from participation?
So we can help them apply for a REAP grant, or provide energy efficiency audits or assessments. And we basically walk them through the whole process and assist them through every step of it.
So it's about figuring out how they can maximize their energy efficiency, not necessarily providing product or construction or infrastructure.
Well, the grant actually can help them purchase it. It offsets some of the cost of installing, whether it be solar panels, geothermal, new walk-in coolers, new energy for their greenhouses, whatever it might be. So it kind of helps.
Enhancing self-generation to offset what they would otherwise pay to the utility.
Right. It allows some of these farms to be a little more sustainable in the long run.
Are you working with any of these farmers directly?
Yes. Yep. We do work with all of them one-on-one through the whole process.
We love them all, but feel free to shout out a couple and the kind of programs that they're using. Are there any most recently that where the farmers have really felt it's going to make a big difference and maybe even be part of the difference between them being sustainable and not?
Absolutely. One exciting project that was completed in the last year was Echo Farm in Woodstock, Connecticut. And they install a geothermal unit into their farm store and processing area. And that's really helped them become more sustainable in the long run. They piggybacked that with some other grants in order to help purchase the geothermal unit.
Very good. How do farmers that might be interested in learning more get to know you?
So they can go to our website and under ctrcd.org, and then we have all of our different programs are listed on our webpage. Connecticut Farm Energy Program is on there, obviously. So.
Excellent. Thank you. Chris Swanson is with the Connecticut Resource and Conservation and Development, representing the Connecticut Farm Energy Program here today at the NOFA Annual Conference at Wesleyan University. Chris, great to see you again, and thanks for the info.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It's nice to see familiar faces and familiar brands here at the conference at Wesleyan. Sarah Layton is one of them. She is a representative of Connecticut Veterans Grown, a movement that, thank heavens, is starting to grow really successfully here in Connecticut. Thanks in great part to you guys' efforts.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, what's it all about?
Yeah, so I am the Agricultural Programs Coordinator for Connecticut Resource Conservation and Development. We're a statewide nonprofit with an environmental and an agricultural arm. And CT Veteran Grown is one of our agricultural programs. It's backed by the U.S. Small Business Administration. And it is both a marketing initiative to provide marketing and outreach for consumers to recognize that there are so many veteran-owned farms in our state. And then on the other hand, we're supporting our farmer veterans from the ground up with all sorts of different programming.
Tell us a little bit about the diversity that you're experiencing as you're meeting new veteran farmers or coming to know veteran farmers that may be the second, third, fourth of a multi-generation farm family.
Sure. Most of the veteran farmers we work with through this program are new and beginning farmers. We do have some who have inherited some form of their farm, but I would say a large majority of the people we're working with are in that transitory phase from their military service into getting into agriculture and just need a little boost with marketing or business development, business planning. We have a professional photography service we provide. We have website design we can help with. So it's really supposed to be just a little bit of handholding to get them to, you know, make their business viable and expand their outreach.
Regardless of their branch or length of service, veterans and their training, and in some ways maybe the way they're wired, makes them
somewhat uniquely qualified to be into agricultural pursuits, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what we say, and that's what veterans, I think, would say for themselves, is that they're quick on their feet, they are not uncomfortable by working long hours, being outside in all sort of weather conditions. Just a really, really hardworking group of people.
So if there is a veteran who has been recently discharged and maybe working a gig job or some kind of an hourly job, but they always had an eye on being their own boss. Talk me through the process of getting to know the program and how to maximize the opportunity for support.
Yeah, so through CTRC&D, we have a Farm Up and a Veteran Farm Up program. And the Veteran Farm Up program is a way that people who are interested in getting into ag or have, they could be anywhere from, like, they're just interested in this concept, they don't even have land yet, or they could have, purchased land or are leasing land and they just need a little help getting their business off the ground. But this is a way that they can come in. They do a consultation with our team. We actually, through the Connecticut Department of Agriculture, have an Ag Enhancement Grant that provides the Path to Victory program. And that is a way that we can provide more farmer-to-farmer mentorship. And we can help them get their, farmer's tax exemption permit. We can get a listing on our website, the CT Veteran Grown. We can help them with branding and marketing consultations, professional photography, and then get those professional photos into a website so they can build their online presence. But there are a lot of different ways that people come and find us, and we definitely are interested in talking with veterans who are in the beginning and early stages of business formation as well.
The other awesome thing about veterans is, once again, regardless of their service, they work together. Mm-hmm. So I imagine you witness a lot of more seasoned veteran farmers, both willing and eager to help bring up younger ones or newer ones.
Yeah, through the Ag Enhancement Grant, that is one of the goals, is to be able to provide that veteran farmer to veteran farmer direct mentorship. We have had some of that occur, which is awesome to see. But generally speaking, the camaraderie is great. We have a Connecticut chapter of the Farmer Veteran Coalition that people can become involved with and go to those meetings as well. Some are virtual, some are in person. But we have our farmers market, which you've been to before. That's an annual event in the summer specifically for veteran farmers. And that's always a really good time to get everybody together and to have a farmers market specifically for the veterans.
Yeah, almost like a mini conference for veteran farmers, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for sure.
Has 2026 been planned yet, or is it gelling?
We are in the early stages of planning it. That will be at the Connecticut VA again this year, as it was last year, It will be in August. We're just working on nailing down those details, so that's forthcoming, but yes, it will be happening.
How was the venue at the VA for you guys?
It was great. We had a couple of food trucks. We had, I think, 8 farmer veteran vendors. We had a lot of service providers there, and it was a great middle of the state location. So we had a lot of people came to that event.
Great. In closing, no initiative is kind of too small these days for farmers to get started, no matter who they are. But are you finding that a number of the newer veterans are coming on and kind of steering toward that more boutique single or small line versus going into something larger like, sheep, dairy, things like that?
Yeah, we do have some who, they find their path, and then we have some that are really expanding. So, a lot of our farmers are also working, outside of the farm. They're either working part-time or full-time in other capacities as well. And so for many people, this is like a side hustle, and then sometimes it expands and that it becomes their full-time job. So we're really able and interested in supporting our farmer veterans at whatever capacity of farming they're interested in. Whatever works for them and their lives, we're just happy to be there and help them, get to the next level.
Excellent. Let's wrap it up by letting them know how to find you.
CTVeteranGrown.org is our resource hub for both farmer veterans and a way for consumers to find their local farmer veterans near them.
Sarah Layton with Connecticut Resource Conservation and Development and working the Connecticut Veterans Grown program here at the 2026 NOFA Conference. Sarah, thanks so much. Great to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you too. Thanks for having me.
All right. We are here with Freedom Gerardo from the Land for Good movement at this NOFA Spring Conference. Freedom, welcome to the program. Thanks for taking a few minutes. What's this organization all about?
So Land for Good is an organization that helps farm seekers find land, landowners find farm seekers. And landowners, doesn't matter if you own the land or are a farmer or non-farmer. Just if you have land that you would like people to come in and farm. And then we help farm owners with succession planning. A lot of farmers wait too late to create that succession plan for the next generation and how the next generation is going to take over the farming, because, you know, farming in our state is on the rise, so we need to make sure that farmland stay farmland. And how we create those succession plans, that's what the organization is all about. And that's what we do in the New England area. So all New England states, we're part of it. I'm the CT field agent, and, you know, I help farmers throughout the state with whatever they need.
It's fascinating to hear that there's an organization dedicated to that, because you know and I know the majority of farmers are now 60, 70s, yes, even in their 80s, still working 7 days a week doing what they've been doing all their lives. But they're so busy working, they don't think about what's going to happen, mm-hmm, and then suddenly something happens. And
they don't have that plan.
Residential housing developers and commercial developers come around and make them an offer they can't refuse, right?
And then they don't have, like, the family either. Some of the families don't want nothing to do with the farm life, or, you know, there's disputes with family. So when you're not ready to do that, you know, people will come and pray on farmland because it's prime real estate. And they rather have housing than have farmland. In this country, that's how it goes. So our organization is dedicated to make sure that farmland stays farmland, but it's making sure that our farmers have that plan and have that the knowledge of how to create opportunities for new and beginning farmers in the state of Connecticut.
Knowing you're relatively new to the organization, I know you can only speak from your experience, but are you finding in the farmers that you've already talked to that they are receptive to carrying on the name of their farm with new management, so to speak?
That's a hard conversation to have, especially with older farmers that don't want to deal with the paperwork, because, you know, you have to start talking about finances, you got to open up your books. Some of these farmers, you know, they're in the older side. They don't even know how to use a computer. They're still working on paper. Yeah, so finding all that paperwork sometimes is a stressful situation. But I do find that farmers do want to keep their farmland. And they want to bring people to take care of the land organically. So I do find that farmers, like just now, ironically, somebody came up to me that has about 34 acres that is looking, that she is looking to retire. She don't want to farm anymore, so she wants to create a succession plan. She don't have no kids, so she wants people to come in into her farm and create that succession plan. So we get those a lot, coming in.
It must be magical when, yes, the connection is made. And, you know, the older farmer who wants to keep the farm active, mm-hmm, encounters a vibrant, mm-hmm, young, invested person.
Yes, and our family. It's not just, you know, a lot of our farmers are looking for couples that come in. That's some of the things that they are looking for. But, yeah, like what you said, it's like That's what we want in the state. We want to make sure that those farms are staying available for new and beginning farmers that want to get into this business. That is a hard business, but a lot of people are going back to farming. So having those opportunities for new and beginning farmers is essential for the agriculture system here in Connecticut. Small farmers run the Connecticut agriculture.
Sure.
So we need those new and beginning farmers to have access to land to be able to keep that tradition.
That's excellent. How do people learn more about you?
So they can go to our website, landforgood.org. They can follow us on Instagram, landforgood. And they can reach me at freedomg@landforgood.org.
Fantastic, Freedom. Great to meet you, and thanks for the information. Hopefully some folks out there will be listening and will be reaching out to you to get connected, or even better, to keep preserving and sustaining our farmlands here in Connecticut. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a PSA for our program that's relevant to the audiences and communities we serve, you must make your request for consideration in writing via email to john.vocat@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program can be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station websites. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Vocat. Join us again at this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime. Just find it under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.